Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Here, you goddamn it.
You're stupid.
All right. Hello, and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry,
Brother Alex,
Worshipful Brother Steve.
We're up here tonight, and we're calling this episode 235. It's called Masonic Mischief Night. Not that Masons do any type of mischief night, but we're going to screw around up here. We're going to talk about all things masonry. Give a little bit of heads up as to what's been going on with me. And, go from there. So, first thing, we're going to go to Apple Reviews, see if we have any of those. I don't know if we have. And first off, I want to apologize to our listeners and stuff. We have not. I've not been very active.
Do people still listen to this?
People still listen to this, Steve. You're going to start. I can tell already.
He names it Masonic Mischief and then doesn't want me to cause Masonic Mischief. Come on, man.
And I'll set yourself up for that.
Right.
So, I started the Academy for the Judicial Marshals in the state of Connecticut. And I've been getting my ass kicked almost every single day. It's basically like a boot camp. So by the end of the day, I'm shot. So during the week is going to be a little tougher to record, but we're going to go from there. Don't have any Masonic reviews, and I haven't.
I didn't think you would.
Oh, you're such an ass. But anyway, so Alex, yes. What have you been up to?
Not much. Just been tattooing, doing the tattoo event at Pyramid Shrine on November 4th, and then I get initiated into the shrine on the 5th.
Oh, God, Steve roped you in, huh?
Yes, he did.
Thank you.
What about you, brother? Worship Brother Steve?
Well, Masonically or personal life, what do you want to know?
But whatever. Surprise me. You talk about whatever you want.
Well, Masonically, you know, I got Morningstar going on. I got a Pyramid Shrine going on. We actually just rechartered the Hillbillies over at Pyramid Number 9.
What's the Hillbillies?
So the Hillbillies is it's a side degree within the shrine.
Okay. Right?
And they're chartered internationally, and what they do is they run what's called the Grand and Glorious Order of the Hillbilly Degree. And okay. All of the proceeds from that go towards the Shrine's transportation fund to bring kids from their local area to their local shrine hospital.
Oh, nice.
Or it goes directly to the hospital itself.
Oh, very nice. Is that why you're dressed up in what you're wearing today?
You're going to find out later, Joe.
You're in overalls. So I was just curious if that was. And you got your
my hillbilly hat.
Hillbilly hat. I didn't know if that was part of it. So
I'm going to double up as my Halloween costume.
All right.
Nice.
Nice. So let's see here.
Break this chair.
John Walker, glad to be listening live from Perth, Western Australia. We get a lot of Aussies.
Wow.
A ton.
That's crazy.
Everybody's from Aussie, especially in Discord.
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
I don't pay attention.
You're in Discord, too.
I'm in Discord. I don't know how to operate it, though.
So anyway, Alec pulling the headphones. That's all right.
My bad.
You're good. So first off, let's talk about what we've been doing in Morningstar.
Nothing.
We've had a lot going on.
We haven't been doing anything.
Might be moving.
That's a potential. I don't want to air anything before we have to. We would prefer not to move. The goal is to stay where we are. Mm-hmm. However, that might have to occur.
Right. We have a new building owner, and basically, if he jacks our rent up to an astronomical amount, we might be looking for a new home. I think we do it in Steve's backyard.
I would like to start actually doing things in my backyard. Like the hillbilly degree would be one of them.
So what else we got going on? We just did the car show not too long ago. That was decent from what I understand.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been to a car show since my little one started playing soccer.
Right.
So my little one plays soccer Saturday mornings. So basically anything that occurs on a Saturday morning is out for me since my wife is a hairdresser and works Saturday.
Right. Are we doing the Pumpkin Festival, or is that already done? I don't even know.
That's already done.
It's already done.
Yeah, it's over, and we opted not to run a booth this year.
Yeah, we usually though, right? What did we do last year? Didn't we do a chip one? Or was that a couple years ago?
We haven't done a chip in a couple years. So they revamped the chip program through the Grand.
Why don't you explain what the chip program is first, so everybody knows.
So the chip has actually been rebranded as, I guess they still call it the chip, but it's CIP now, and it's the Child Identification Program. The program's actually changed since the last time we run it, and to be completely honest with you, I have not reviewed the new program. Mm. So I can't speak intelligently on many things.
I mean, they used to be where they would do like the dental swab, or they did a DNA swab.
So
video stuff like that.
Yes, we sat down. We basically did an interview with the kids, right? We said, hey, you know, when you're upset, where do you go? You know, who's your best friend? What's your preferred form of transportation? Right? Do you walk? Do you take your bike? Things like that. So we have them on video. So we have their voice, we have what they look like, and we have a general idea of like where they go when they're upset or they're angry. So we know the first place to look, right?
Right.
And this all comes on a package. There's dental imprints. God forbid you actually needed that. There's a cheek swab, so you have a DNA sample, right? And we have all this information. So God forbid the worst case scenario happens. The parent can take that information, hand it off to the local authorities, right? And they'll use that information to hopefully recover your child.
Yeah, and just for the conspiracy theorists out there who think we're freaking burying babies into the basement like we were accused of before, yeah, swear to God, actually was said. Dude, actually was said. I just want to be clear.
Don't tell them that we have babies in the basement.
No.
Those are my babies.
You're stupid. No, but you know, just to be clear, the Masons do not hold any of this information. It goes directly back to the parents to hold on to. We don't keep anything.
The local authorities don't keep that.
As a matter of fact, we don't even. The only thing we do is run the booth. We hand out the kits and give to the parents, and then they get them back. We don't actually keep any of that information.
Nothing. None of that information stored on a server. Nothing.
Correct.
I believe you've actually had somebody who ran the chip on this podcast before. It's been a while.
Yes. Yeah, we had one a while ago, a long time ago. We had somebody on.
I can't remember the guy's name who revamped the chip program.
Was it Joe Sear?
I don't remember. I'll look into it. Maybe we can get him up here.
Mm. Yeah, so, I mean, there's different events that we do and everything. I thought I could have swore we did it last year, but I could be completely wrong on that. So
it's been a while. When was the last time you've been to Lodge, George?
I was here last meeting.
Oh, shit.
Last meeting I was here. Go on, bust balls. I told you, I'm on my Masonic vacation.
Baby. It's okay. Listen, like, some people go on longer vacations than others. Blindy, where's the cool guy? I'm right here, bro.
Yeah, so Joe is actually in D.C. I think he's running some race.
Hold on, Joe's the cool guy?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just telling what everybody else is doing.
I'm taking Ken's place. I'm Harmony 42 now.
Wait, what?
You will never.
What?
Yeah.
So when the hell did that happen?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Who suckered you over there?
Joe Pisani.
Joe Pisani. Oh, my God.
Worshipful brother,
Joe Pisani.
Boy, they're just picking the bones of Morningstar Lodge, huh?
Well, listen, you know.
Well, maybe if I could get some guys from there to help us out once in a while.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, you scratch my back, I scratch yours.
Oh, shit!
You know where my back is, right, George?
Fucker.
Should I go lower?
Oh, God. Anyway, let's talk about the Shrine. I know we really haven't talked about the Shrine. I can't remember. We did have a Shriner up here who talked about the motorcade and all that stuff.
So you actually had Billy Russo up here.
Correct.
Billy Russo is I believe he's still the head of the Clowns, past potentate of...
We had Champ up here as well, too.
Oh, you've had Champ up here, too.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So what part are you part of?
What part am I part of?
Like our motorcade or...
It's not motorcade, George. It's fucking Motor Patrol.
Motor Patrol.
Motor
what?
Patrol.
Oh, God. I feel seltzer in my freaking future.
So I'm actually in Motor Patrol. So for those of you that can't tell from YouTube, I'm 6'3", 260 pounds. So I fit in little cars, like, not well.
What are you doing? You're going to be an ass clown, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll probably be a clown or a magician. I used to be a professional magician, so that's easy.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. You want to see me pull a bird out of my pocket? Hold on, watch this. Watch this.
Oh, there it is.
So, when do you start? Like, how does that? How do you get to that part? Do you have to like earn your bones before you can actually become part of a certain division, if you will?
No, nope. So the day you become, at least in our shrine, I don't know how it works in other shrines. At least in our shrine, the day you go through your ceremonial, if you chose to put a petition in for one of the units or clubs, mm-hmm. You would be accepted whenever their next meeting is, right? Like, so it's not an instantaneous thing,
right?
But you would go in that route.
Cool. So let's talk about Blue Lodge. Good afternoon, Paul. So let's talk about our lodge. Let's talk about, you know, some of the things that we've been kind of running into lately. And I think me personally, one of the things we've been running into is getting new guys in. We had a lengthy discussion about, I think it's important that we talk about the woes of our lodge as well as many other lodges that have it. And one of the woes that we have is getting in new members. So one of the programs that, not programs, but one of the things I did when I was master and coming up through is I would hand out petitions left and right, and I would give 3 petitions to each member to make them bring in at least 3 guys. And that kind of boosted our ranks. And I want to be clear, we're not just putting, you know, asses in seats. You know, we're trying to bring in, you know, reputable people who aren't, you know, just your average Joe.
Yeah.
So where are we at right now with our lodge in doing that?
So while I see where you were going with that whole process, I don't necessarily disagree with where you're at. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of try and take a different approach to that, similar, but different. Right.
Right.
So, Masonry in general seems to be having an issue, unless you're in like South America, which is experiencing like this ridiculous boom right now. Especially,
really?
Yeah, especially if you look on like, you follow like any of the shrine stuff on Facebook, they're opening stuff left and right down there.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know what they're doing down there that we're not doing up here, or maybe it was just a lack of, it didn't exist down there prior.
Cell phones that everybody's got their face buried
into. That's not true. We're not talking about third world countries, dude. Stop. So basically, I know at least, and I can't speak for Masonry in general, I can't speak for the whole state of Connecticut in general, but you see things, you know, even in our district, we have issues with not just membership, but activity within the membership, right? And that seems to be our biggest issue, is we could bring people in the door left and right.
Mm.
I mean, we could bring them in the door left and right, but we lose people to NPD.
Retention is our issue.
Right. Retention is a major issue. And it comes to the point where, what are we providing these people? Are we providing these people what they're actually looking for? So that brings me to, you know, the question I asked in Lodge the other night, why did you join Masonry?
Mm.
Right. And George, George has harped on this. He's joined Masonry because he saw the History Channel, right?
Like,
that's his thing. Brother Alex, why did you join Masonry?
I joined Masonry to get a further understanding of the esoteric side of it, the symbolism, as well as the history and, you know, just having the brotherhood.
Right. I joined Masonry because I like goats, you know? And,
stupid.
So that brings me to my follow-up question on that, right? Did you find what you were looking for? And that's a hard question to answer, right? Because for me, I didn't find the goats, you know? And I wanted to, morning, Josh. I wanted to find the goats, right? But there was no goats.
So let me elaborate a little bit on that. And me and you kind of went back and forth and kind of stole the thunder of the entire lodge. Go figure, the two past masters are the ones up there going, hey, back in my day.
There's one meeting a year.
But eat shit.
It was one meeting in 2 years, but we won't go there.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, but one of the things that I had said, not countering Steve, but kind of going along with it, is that, you know, with masonry, you also get what you put into it.
Yep, right.
So if you're looking for a specific thing for fellowship, start doing things that, you know, I mean, there's no rules about any mason on the, we'll call them the level, the ground floor, you know, non-officer, just a brother on the sideline. There's no rules or anything saying, hey, I came here for the fellowship, I want to do X, pancake breakfast, or a table lodge, something like that, and standing up and saying, I would like to orchestrate it, you know, and that's where you would get something out of it, you know, is by what you put into it. If you came here for esoteric, do an esoteric lecture on something.
Right.
If you came here for charity, find something that's charitable and get the Lodge Brothers to do it. With that being said, you also need the support of your Lodge Brothers, and if you got support in the Lodge, things tend to fall on their face. I mean, you could still go through it and do them, but, you know, it's harder to do something when you don't have the support of your lodge or you don't have the brothers that are coming out to help.
So Scott Blanchard said he joined to have a continued service-minded community when my son was aging out of Boy Scouts, and he actually found more than he was expecting.
There you go.
Which is fantastic. If you're finding more than you're expecting, your lodge is doing a fantastic job.
Right.
Your lodge is doing a fantastic job. So I wanted to make one observation. I believe I brought this up in Lodge also. So every month we do a breakfast down at the Shrine.
Mm.
Every month, right? Pancake breakfast. I'll be running it along with a couple other brothers in November. And I bring my two daughters to it, right? My little daughter loves serving plates. She loves it.
Right.
She looks forward to this all month. All she wants to do is go take orders, run plates back to the table. That's all she wants to do, right? So we had one breakfast that was poorly attended, and it was to our own fault. We did not advertise it, right? It was completely our fault. But my daughter looked at me and she said, "This is boring. I'm not doing anything. Can we go home?" Mm-hmm. And that's because she wasn't getting what she asked for. Right. She looked forward to the work.
Right.
She looked forward to the work. And as the master of the lodge, right?
Right.
What's your job?
Make sure there's work to be done.
Give them good and wholesome instruction for their labors. Right. Right? Set these guys to work.
Right.
Give and them something to do.
To go off of that, too, if it's not being provided, I noticed, you know, people once they hit Master Mason, they'll join the other appendant bodies.
Yep.
And now that you're in another appendant body,
that's
your
schedule
is getting busier and busier, and then you're making less time for your Mother Lodge, your Blue Lodge, and then it just makes it harder for everybody to get their schedules to match up and be able to organize something.
Yep. Right. You know, and sometimes, at least in my case, my goals or my plans or the things I wanted for masonry, they changed. So when I first came in, obviously I was talking about, you know, the History Channel, and I wanted to learn the secrets of the dollar bill and everything. So I was kind of, I guess you could say, kind of along the lines of Alex, esoteric.
Right.
When I got into the lodge and I realized there was five guys in the lodge all over the age of 80, and they were talking about, well, we're probably going to have to fold into Shelton.
Yep.
I made it my new goal that I'm not going to let that happen.
Right.
I wanted to rebuild the lodge and get in new young blood. And that kind of became my goal. So, and I think I succeeded, I would say. You know, I mean, I wasn't the catalyst for it because, again, it's not just, you know, it's not a one-man effort. I'm going to be clear about that. So it's not my effort, but the guys who came in underneath me, they recognized that was kind of like the goal. We need to rebuild this lodge. And then they started helping rebuild the lodge, and it took off from there. So it wasn't me who rebuilt the lodge. It was the guys I brought in helped rebuild the lodge, and we all had a common goal.
Right.
And I think that's very important for a lodge to have a common goal. And I mean, and again, I'm not airing out dirty laundry in our lodge, but I think we have a real issue, at least in our lodge, of having a common goal. We really don't. you know, and I think this is probably the case. And the reason why I bring this up is because I think this is a common case in a lot of lodges. We're talking about Harmony 42.
Right.
Their common goal was rebuilding that freaking library. Right. And they got the brothers to help rebuild that library and do it.
And it's have you it been there?
I have not been there.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
It looks amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was a common goal. Right.
And now their next goal is Joe's trying to work on building a chamber of reflection in their lodge so they could have that for the EA degree.
Like when we first came up here to this building, we had a common goal. What was that? Build a lodge. Build a lodge room. You know, have a place for us. You know, we wanted a chamber of reflection. Like, and all the brothers chipped in, and we all had a common goal. I believe, in my personal opinion, our lodge, you know, it's running into a lull right now. And this is by no fault of anybody. I want to say this isn't the master. This isn't the secretary. This isn't the officers. This is just kind of how it goes. It's kind of how the things go, right? They ebb and flow.
Right.
You'll have a goal, and now you don't have a goal because you've completed that goal. And now you're in this lull period where it's like, well, shit, what do we do now? And what ends up happening? That it's happened here, but you run into infighting because nobody
and
really.
And that's why it's very important to give the brothers something to do, right?
Like, right.
One of the things, like, you guys came in for esoterics. And let me say this, and I know I'll end up getting blasted by, you know, Masons. I don't care about it. I really don't. I've been in for a while.
Right.
It's just not my thing. Like, I find it interesting. I find the symbolism interesting. I find the meanings, you know, the interpreted meanings behind it interesting, right? But it's not something that drives me, right? It's not my driving force for being a Mason, right? And that I'm more of a fellowship guy. That's
mm-hmm.
my thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. my thing. I'm here to party, right?
And, well, that too.
Right. But we kind of fall flat with the esoterics in this particular lodge. We kind of fall flat on the esoterics, and that's our fault.
I mean, right? it doesn't have to be like drilled into people.
No.
But everybody who joins Masonry, I don't care what anybody says, joins it for some type of esoteric interest at some point,
right?
Regardless, because if you have zero interest in it, why wouldn't you just join the Elks Club or an Italian club or a Portuguese club or Knights of Columbus or something? There's something about
don't have goats.
There's something about the mysteries that bring people to this door.
Yep, the goats.
Yeah, I'll give you a lecture on goats.
So
I'll make sure to put something in the lecture upon goats.
So we talk again. It's not my thing. Like right. But we talked about putting together a presentation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the people who enjoy esoterics.
Alex.
Well, that's the other thing. I don't want to be talking to myself the whole time.
Put them to work.
Right.
Put them to work. So what are you doing now?
I'm working on a lecture of the Entered Apprentice degree, and I'm going to get George's mm-hmm. lecture on the Chamber of Reflection. And
good morning, Jerwell. Jerwell.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes.
It's an interesting name.
It is a very interesting name.
Jerwell.
So 11111.
While we're talking about the Chamber of Reflection, see, in this is a hard thing for me anyway, and I know you guys are busting my balls not showing up to lodge and all this stuff, but like, I think part of the problem is that we also don't have a crew of past masters that to really help guide and talk.
We have the best crew of past masters.
But I'm talking about overall masonry. What happens when you fucking... But we have... let's talk about overall masonry. What happens after people leave the master's chair? They do their Masonic vacation. They disappear. Me, I took an extended one. Why? Well, I got some shit going on in my life. I got stuff that life happens. You know, like I said, I'm getting my ass whooped in the academy and everything like that. But, you know, we also have a crew of past masters that just take their Masonic vacation. They figure out... work's done. I did my part. I'm out. See ya. You know, and the problem with that is now, you know, I don't think it's more so of like that mentality of all the work's done. It's what do I do now? If you're not moving up the chain and you're not trying to aim to be a associate. What the hell is that?
Oh, sorry, guys. We're going to have to restart.
No. Just
hit the which button do I want to put?
The X.
Restart now.
No.
Restart now.
You're stupid. Well, we have.
Why am I sitting over here?
I don't know. You're tall like Ken.
I'm tall like Ken.
Look, we're going in height orientation. So I'm the midget. You know, actually, Alex,
I'm pretty close.
You're pretty freaking close.
I know.
But anyway, getting back on what I was saying, you know, you have past masters. What do you do if you're not progressing or want to move to an associate grand marshal or a district deputy or get to the grand line or become a Blue Lodge president? You know, what are you doing? What do you got left to do? There's nothing for you to do besides attend lodge and sit there and listen to what's going to happen.
Guide the lodge in the correct direction.
Yeah,
but see, that's where it comes off of. Is like, back in my day, that's when that mentality happens.
Back in my day,
but what I'm saying is, for me anyway, I found things to do. This is where I was talking about what you get into masonry, what you put into it. I came up with a chamber of reflection. There's no ritual for that. That's something I did. I wanted. I like the chamber of reflection. I love the concept of it, but there's no ritual. So what do? You just throw some dude in a freaking hole and then tell him, oh, sit there for 5 minutes and then knock on the door when you're done. No, you got to come up with some sort of a ritual. Explain to him what the chamber of reflection is. So that's kind of what I came up with. And, you know, realistically, you know, there have been other brothers who have asked me, like, oh, we're going to do an EA tonight. Could we have your chamber of reflection? I think I've given it to Pat and I've given it to Jim and all that stuff. But I would love for somebody else who's more esoteric and minded like that to take that ritual and perfect off of it. I just made a basic outline. Mm-hmm. So, like, giving it to you, I'm all about it. I'll give it to you. You take it. You revamp it. You change words. You do or add things or whatever you want to do. You know, the trick is, though, you have to keep it somewhat short and sweet because you don't want that to overshadow the actual EA degree because that's what's more important.
Right. It's just an introduction.
It's an introduction. It's more of a high, you know, we're going to tighten your ass and scare the shit out of you for a little bit. That's let's be real. That's kind of what the Chamber of Reflection is most supposed to do.
Yeah, to discomfort.
Discomfort you, make you feel a little like, shit, am I really good enough for this?
Yeah.
In a sense. But even after that, I did this whole podcast thing, or Steve calls it the podcast. Like
Pudfest.
Pudfest. But it's something else for me to do that's masonry related. Right. And I think that's part of the problem with past masters, is they don't find anything to do. Or they're not given anything to do, and you lose half your retention.
If you're a past master and you can't find something to do, you're doing it.
But that's what I'm saying. That's half of your retention right there is
sure.
We're talking retention
but
about.
That's not just past masters. That's guys on the floor. Like Alex said earlier, right? Like once you become a master mason, then what? Then the only thing for me to do is join Appendant Bodies. I love Appendant Bodies. I'm a member of every single one of them. However, I am.
Yeah.
However, my Blue Lodge is they come first.
Your mother lodge.
Right.
Right. My mother lodge comes first. My affiliate lodge comes first before anybody else. We're going to get to them in 2 seconds. Hang tight, George.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jeremy.
I'm just reading as you're going.
Jeremy Wilgus. I guess he had contacted you prior. And we're glad that George was able to help you because George isn't able to help
me. Jeremy Wilgus. Now, I would just want to be clear, if I can, but Jeremy Wilgus, he said he spoke to me. Okay, interesting. I'll have to look. What did you speak to me on, Jeremy, if you don't mind me asking? Because I get 1,000 messages a day.
Is this chat public?
Yeah.
So people can see it anyway. I guess he was a felon down in Florida, and he wanted to work towards becoming a Mason.
Yes, we did speak. Yeah. We'll get to that. We'll give you some advice on that as well. And then, Josh, we'll get into your thing, too. Go ahead, Steve.
So I forgot where I was. It doesn't really matter.
I'm sorry.
So if you give these guys the reins, right? Like, right now... Alex is working on this esoteric presentation for the lodge, right? Because it's something that's important to him. It's something that's important to him. We've worked on a couple of failed projects together, right?
Right.
And it was good, right? Because it gave us a goal.
Right.
It gave us a goal. We're trying to bring the lodge together, right? And because we're a very young lodge, not just in age, which we are. We're a very young lodge in age. But we're also a Masonically young lodge in tenure, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't have, we're not a cookie cutter lodge. We don't have a year where we go, okay, we're going to do this, 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 and this, and our lodge is going to run smooth because we've done it 40 times and we know it works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't necessarily know it works. So we're taking things, we're throwing it against the wall and seeing if it sticks.
Mm-hmm.
If it sticks, it's stuff we'll run with. Look at Raph's.
Donut batter?
Oh, God, don't start. look at Raph's car show, right? That stuck. We just completed our fifth annual car show, right? And that has been a staple of our lodge for 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fantastic.
Right.
That's great. right? But what else? What's in it for me, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the question you really have to answer is what's in it for me? This dude loves esotericism. Is that the correct word?
That is. Sure is. Right.
So he's running this. He's grabbed the horns, and he's running with the esoteric program, right? I've offered to help him. I don't know a damn thing about esotericism. Not a damn thing.
Right.
But I'll help. But you can help learn
with the presentation aspect of right. it and putting it together. You don't need to actually be, you know, somebody who's up on that.
Right.
So I guess I'll tackle.
Can I take Josh McCray since I don't want you reading it from across the room.
No. Go ahead.
Your cheaters on, right?
Mm-hmm. My cheaters. What? Yeah. What cheaters? I got 20/10 eyesight, baby. I could see the balls off a fly. Continue. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I saw you.
You're the one with the Magoo glasses.
You were trying to look down my bib overalls earlier. You're trying to look at balls on a fly. Get out of here.
Go ahead.
So Josh McCray says, so I've not yet knocked on the door, and the main reason is because my wife is a little apprehensive about it. I don't want to try and control the show, but could you touch on how becoming a Mason has benefited your families as well as yourselves? I think she's worried I'll stop buying Mr. Pibb and make the whole family start drinking Polar Seltzer.
Here we go.
So Mr. Pibb is a great soda, but I would highly recommend our sponsor, Polar Orange Dry.
We're going to start this shit again.
It's been like 4 years, dude.
People don't even know what we're talking about.
It's fine. So Josh.
That's an episode 8 reference. Continue.
Is it that long ago?
Yeah, it was episode 8. You did that.
That was back before you could actually hear people speaking, right?
What do you mean?
Like where the audio.
Oh, it's the headphones.
Quality was so bad.
Yeah, that's when we had one mic in the middle of a round table. The good old days.
The good old, the glory days. So listen, Josh, here's the deal, right? If your wife's not on board, you're not in, bud. So here's my suggestion. And this is solely my suggestion. Reach out to a couple of your local lodges. Don't just go to one. Go check out a few. Right. Anytime I have guys that are interested in masonry, I'll take them not just here. I know that's blasphemy. I won't just take them here. I take them to other lodges.
Son of a bitch.
Right.
Because I want to see where they fit in.
Fair enough.
I want to see where they jive.
Right? That's good.
Because would I love to see them at Morningstar? 100%. Would I love to see him over at King Solomon's? 100%, right? But
and you should travel.
If they don't fit, if they don't mesh, if it's too long of a ride, they're not going to be active Masons. And it's more important for the craft in general to have an active Mason than to have a guy on your rolls who's not doing anything.
So a couple things. One, yes, I agree with that. It's also their location where they live. You don't want to obviously have somebody coming from New London to come to freaking Morningstar Lodge. But two, it's also where they fit in with the brothers. And I'll give you an example. All right. If the guy is if his last name ends with a vowel, all right, he's probably better off with Pisani doing the whole boobity bobbity. Yeah. Boobity bobbity, bobbity boobity.
Exactly.
That's probably where he's going to fit in, drinking wine and, you know, cigars and all that shit. Whereas we're more like, would you say, Animal House? Like John Belushi?
We here at Morningstar.
There's John Belushi right at the end of the table
we
talking
put the
right now.
Fun and dysfunctional. So Josh, my suggestion is reach out to a couple lodges. Go hang out with the guys. So in Connecticut, at least the majority of our lodges, their meeting commences at 7:30 p.m. Right.
Standard Masonic time.
I call it standard Masonic time. Right. So basically, everybody in the state meets at 7:30 p.m. with a few exceptions, and that includes most appended bodies. Right. So prior to that, an hour prior to that, 6:30, most lodges will have a dinner, right?
Bring the wife.
Go find out where you mesh first, then bring the wife.
Yeah.
Bring her, introduce her to your new friends, because these guys are going to be your new friends, right?
We're friends.
Whether you like them or not. That's my recommendation.
And just to touch on how it's benefited a little bit, you know, obviously it's not a benefit society, but I will say that when my grandmother got sick and she got ovarian cancer, she didn't want any treatment. She knew that it was her time to go. and she didn't want to do hospice. So I reached out to Masonicare, and they came to her and did full hospice for her, and they did a fantastic job and helped her go through the end-of-life process.
So two things for me. It was a while there where I was in between jobs, a little bit of trouble. And I want to be clear about this for Masonry. Masonry is not a handout. This isn't where you sign up and it's like, oh, you know, I can't pay my oil bill this week, so you guys can throw me a little something like that. You know, I mean, it doesn't happen like that. But, you know, I a couple of brothers knew I was in a little bit of a jam. And next thing I know, I had the deputy for the Scottish Rite show up in my house, just talk to me about, you know, how's things going and everything, and handed me a check. I'm not going to disclose the amount, but he gave me a check and said, here, get yourself on track. Just like that. So that's how it's benefited me. But I also want, you know, people to understand who are listening to this, you know, Josh McCoy asked a question, and I hate to, I'm not shitting on you, Josh, please don't take it that way, but he says, how has it benefited your families as well as yourselves? That's not what Freemasonry is about. It's right. About benefiting everybody else and helping your community and your society.
And putting into it to get what you want
right.
out of
so
it.
So do you get something back? It, sure, if you need to.
It's a reflective science.
But that's not, yeah, you don't.
So by default, right, God, by default, here. if you're creating a better... If you're creating a better community, right, aren't you creating a better community for your family? Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of a default thing. As far as my family, you know, I touched on it real quick. Yeah, we are not a benefit society, Scott Blanchard says, but I have a personal family story to tell where brothers from out of state assisted my daughter in arranging the purchase of a car. Right. There you go. And he's got a secondary part to that, but I'm sure he's going to say they treated her like family. Right. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, 100%, right? You know, you have, how does Doug put it? You have a bunch of Masonic uncles, right? You come into Masonry, you end up with your kids end up with a bunch of Masonic uncles, right? Because these guys, they are my brothers.
I mean,
right?
Even like Perry, when Perry was moving and he reached out and he had 10 guys there to help him move in, and he got it done quicker than he would have with a moving company.
Mm. Right, right. So, again, we are not a benefit society, right?
Nope.
We are a 501c10. Not to be confused with a 501c3 or a 501c8. All right.
I don't know any of this shit. Continue.
I can tell. Thank God. So how has it benefited me, right? Me personally, it's benefited me because I get to party. Right? And that's
Scotch
what
and
I ended up coming here for. Right. That's what Masonry evolved into for me was the fellowship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where else would I have met Right Worshipful Brother George? I wouldn't have.
Nope.
Where would I have met Brother Alex? Well, I wouldn't have.
I would have.
Right.
I get a lot of tattoos from Brother Alex, so.
That's true.
Mine's better, but that's okay. So, yeah, dude.
You
mine's
lose.
Mine's definitely better. So that's where I've benefited. I'm looking forward to some eggs benedict. So listen, that's where I've benefited from Freemasonry, right? And you know, I like to tell the story, right? So I joined the Shrine, right? And that is really where I belong.
Right.
Like the Shrine is where I belong. And you know, I'm in there, I'm doing my thing. My daughter goes to the doctor for her annual physical, right? And she has scoliosis.
Mm.
So my wife comes home, she's all bent out of shape, right? She's like, oh man, you know, G's got scoliosis. We got to go get everything checked and what's going to happen. Just to preface this, my brother-in-law has like the worst scoliosis on the face of the planet. He put rods in his back, right? His after x-rays are worse than most kids before x-rays. It was absolutely atrocious. So my wife is very upset at this point in time. Dude, we took her to Shriners Children's, right? You want to talk about a philanthropy, right? Mm-hmm. That's it.
Really?
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where like, okay, you know, do you have to go past Blue Lodge Masonry?
Mm.
No.
Right.
No, you don't.
Nope.
You don't. But every other organization has its own base philanthropy, right, for a lack of a better term, right? Shriners Children's, dude, that's in my opinion, the best philanthropy on the face of the planet.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we own and operate 22 hospitals or medical centers around the world.
Right.
Right? With plans for expansion.
Right.
Right. You got the dyslexia centers for Scottish Rite. Mm-hmm. You got dental work for the Grotto.
Right.
You got Muscular Dystrophy Association for Tall Cedars. Right.
Templar Eye Foundation.
You got the Knights Templar Eye Foundation. Nobody's really sure what Chapter and Council does, but that's cool. We got Knights Templar Eye Foundation. You want to argue that? I don't know what they do.
So let's get to Jeremy's question here. And Jer, Will, I wasn't, I wanted to be clear. I wasn't making fun of your YouTube name. I thought it was something.
Again, I was.
I thought it was somewhere along the lines of esotericism or whatever the hell. But he says, spoke to me a while back. Yes, he did. I do remember it now, and I do apologize. I get a lot of messages that I have to answer. And it's increasingly difficult during the week when I'm in the academy and cannot answer them. So I see them roughly later. But he was saying that
anytime, Josh. I hope that helps.
He was basically saying that he was a felon. I don't know what. It doesn't really matter. And he's trying to get into masonry and everything. So this is an interesting, difficult navigation for this one. Here's why: because it all depends on what you got in trouble for. And I'm going to understand that masonry's unofficial, what is it called? Motto is to make good men better. So where do you draw that line now? So there are people who've made mistakes in the past, and they're trying to make up for them now. So where do we as Masons start and end? Do we take people who were in trouble, got in trouble way back in the day, and are now trying to clean their lives up? Or do they have to be good, and we're just going to make them better? Me personally, I feel like...
George will take any swinging dick.
That's not true. But what I'm saying...
Physically and metaphorically.
Oh, my God. Will you stop? Let me just finish my thought. So,
all right, and then I'll jump in.
And then you can jump in. But for me, I love seeing the fall from grace and then the rebuilding afterward. The rising of the phoenix, if you will. That's just kind of my thing. I like seeing people pulling themselves up from their bootstraps. So for me... that's not a bar for me.
Just keeps making it easier.
That doesn't bar.
George likes to grab his bootstraps.
Tough morning.
It is going to be a tough morning. But I like seeing people who've been down, who are trying to rebuild back up. So that for me wouldn't be an instant bar. That's right. Just me. Some lodges don't see things this way. And this is part of the problem with masonry is there's no cookie cutter type thing. So you may get one lodge saying, no, we're not taking him. You wait 6 months, you apply to a different lodge, and they're like, yeah, we'll take him. We'll you know, he's since this incident or whatever, he's been nothing but making himself better, and yeah, we'll take him. So that's kind of the thing. Now, mind you, I have a joke in part seriousness here. I'm obviously, I've already said I'm going for the marshals and all that stuff. And one of the things I have to do is I have to transport prisoners and everything. So I have to get my CDL. So during the CDL process of being a passenger, you know, to carrying passengers, you have to go, at least, I don't know if it's federally or just in the state of Connecticut, but you have to go on the sex offendery list. You have to Google your name and make sure you're not on the list. So, you know, I knew I wasn't going to pop up. So for the conspiracy theorists who think we do shit to children, fuck you. I'm all over I'm not anywhere on the national sex registry thing. So just want to be clear about that. No, ever.
Until they find.
But my point is, though, in that respect, you know, lodges can, they have the option of a background check, and they have the option of.
We no longer have an option. Let me interject because
go ahead. Yeah.
Right. So in the state of Connecticut,
hold on for a minute, boys.
I go to the bathroom.
Gotcha.
Continue. I gotta hit the head. Come on. Have fun.
It's required.
Right. So last Grand Lodge session, there was a vote. I believe it was the last Grand Lodge session and the one prior to that. The one prior to that, it got shot down, and this last one ended up passing. So in the state of Connecticut, at least, we have to perform a background check. We go through a company, I want to say it's called Guarding the West Gates out of New York, right? So now we have to go through a criminal background check. It costs the candidates, it's $15 or $16, I'm not really sure. They have to provide, they provide it to our investigation committee only. So our three-person investigation committee receives a copy of their background check, and they, at that point in time, make a determination on whether or not, what are you doing?
Fixing something.
Don't fix things, stop touching.
Fixed.
Okay. So at that point in time, we make the determination on whether or not we would accept you. Well, to George's point, right, that's at our discretion.
Correct.
There's no set disqualifier, right?
Murder and treason aside.
At least that I'm aware of, right? So if you have a history of repeat misdemeanor, am I going to take you in? No, because you... Even though it's a minor thing, right, you have a history of repeating it. If you were one time, I made a mistake, I had a Dewey and 10, 15 years ago, and, you know, I'm a reformed alcoholic, right? No, dude, that's not an issue. But if you're creating a history and you have a pattern that shows, you know, and I know, you know, past performance is not indicative of future gains, right? Dude, it is. Mm-hmm. It is, because that's all we have to go off of.
Right.
Oh, yeah, suck it, George.
Yeah. My vape pen. Leave me alone. Yeah, so in that regards, I getting back to Jeremy's question, no, it doesn't bar you. There are certain lodges that will, though. Unfortunately, there's certain lodges, it's at their discretion. I would tell you to keep trying, even if you get barred. At least in the state of Connecticut, it's 6 months. You get barred for 6 months, and then you can shoot again. Try a different lodge. Yep. You know, the other thing you can do, too, is, you know, disclose to them that you were in trouble a long time ago. Here's what happened. The best thing, honesty is always the best policy.
Yep. Right.
I got in trouble doing this. Where we'll go with Steve's Dewey thing, which is a D, you know, driving under the influence. I got in trouble X amount of years ago. I've been trying to improve myself, blah, 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 blah. And you know what to do? Show up.
Yep.
6:30 before every meeting. Show that you want it. You know, even if they bar you, show up, say, well, I'd still like to come, you know, before lodge. And eventually you're going to get a brother who's going to be like, yeah, man, this guy's really keeping up with it. Like he's showing a lot of, you know, over the top, you know, to be part of this. It's no different than, you know, Sons of Anarchy prospect. Prospects do all this, you know, like, and I don't want to compare it to a 1%, you know, group, but I'm just saying, like, there are a lot of organizations that the quote-unquote prospect, they're not initiated.
Tattoo artists.
Tattoo, yeah. Yeah, you have to earn your bones, in a sense, and it shows your enthusiasm. It shows your enthusiasm, though, and that goes a long, long way. If you just sit there and say, okay, I didn't get in, so... all right, never mind, forget it.
Yeah,
and point, you disappear for 6 months and then try to come back in, you're probably going to get the same result.
If even before that, if you're not coming and meeting us before our meeting, right, how does the rest of the brothers who are voting on you, how do they know you?
Right.
Not everybody wants to take the word of the investigation committee, right?
Nope.
Like, I don't.
No.
Anytime.
Especially
anytime.
If they know.
Good luck. I hope you get in.
Especially if a brother knows you outside.
Sure.
Of it, because I mean, we've had instances where we had somebody who knew outside of the investigation, we knew the dude, and was like, "Nah, this guy's a shitbag."
Right.
And
right, but you could easily fool an investigation committee,
yeah,
you know, in a 2 to 3 hour interview, right? If you have a
Christ.
Really good investigation committee, and they really sit down and take the time to get to know you over the course of an hour plus,
uh-huh,
right? You can trick them.
I mean,
yeah, you can trick them.
Let's go even further than that, though, Steve.
We want you to come. We want you to have dinner with us, right? Prior to meetings, right? Mm-hmm. If we say, hey, listen, why don't you come back in 2 hours? We'll have some, you know, nice adult libations for you afterwards. You know,
and I want to be clear, you don't have to drink.
No.
This is not a drinking club.
Not about drinking. Absolutely not.
Because you don't even drink. So.
Well, I was.
You, No, but for a while you were dry. You didn't drink anything. And now every once in a while you have a libation, but you don't. You're not getting up here and, you know, firing them back like
crazy.
Sorry,
I want to talk about my personal problems right now.
No, but, no, but so getting back to that, you know, we've, you know, and Steve can attest to this. We had a brother who actually made it all the way up to an officer's chair, and then we were like, "Wow, this was a bad move." And we're not going to disclose names or anything, but like we were like, "Holy shit, we didn't know that this was going on."
Right.
And then once we realized it, gone, just like that. So you can get past the investigation committee, you can get past all your degrees, still get into the officer's chair.
I miss
and you're
him,
like,
you know.
Wow. Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, if it's the dude I think we're talking about, I miss him.
Yeah.
Come back. I'm kidding, don't come back.
Old May.
No, we're not going back.
No, but see, for me, whatever. We'll talk about that off air. I mean, let's just put it this way. We've had Masons who've come through, did the degrees, got up to an office chair and realized, holy shit, like, this was a bad move. This guy should have never made it.
Right. And you got to remember, right, like, not everybody's fit to be an officer either.
No.
Right? Not everybody's cut out for that. And that is, it's a commitment. Like, if you think you're just coming in there to gain a title, like, I'm gonna be past master, I'm gonna be worshipful brother, dude, screw off. That's a ton of work, man. Mm. That's a ton of work.
Not only that, it's not about titles.
No, well, for some people it is.
Some people it is, and
if you're coming in,
that's
for
a whole
titles, other man,
topic too.
Just stop.
Josh McCray, off subject, but will Halloween being tomorrow, any new ghost stories up there? No.
What?
It's been actually really – I haven't had any ghost stories up here.
George is going to get touched after the podcast, but we'll talk about that later.
No, it's been actually relatively quiet. But, you know, also, I haven't been looking for it. I haven't been looking for it since Liberty Ghost Hunters kind of came here, did their thing. We caught all those voices, you know, we're in Lodge George and shit like that. You know, that was creep.
Yeah, you and Perry had that one experience where we were doing a quick rehearsal. With like the spider web feeling.
That was
creepy.
And that was right when the lights turned off too. Remember that? And
yes.
We both went, what the fuck? Like we got, that was, God damn it. Why'd you bring that up? Now I got the jeeps all over.
Yeah, sorry, I do too.
What a bitch.
Yeah.
But with Halloween, sorry, typing like George. Shut up. realistically, not that anything I've noticed, and again, I really haven't been looking. Sometimes, you know, these things kind of happen when you're looking for it, but also, you know, like we did our investigation, we obviously caught things. I mean, we played it live, like you've heard the things that were caught. And realistically, I don't want to push any further than that because I don't think we need to have, you know, evidence every, you know, we don't need to have a revisit every year and bothering anything that may be up here. I'm a firm believer of, you know, let things lie. Do I believe in it? Absolutely. I do believe that there's something after this. I do believe that, you know, some people come and you know, whether they followed from the church or they were just here in the building, who knows? You can what if all day. But I don't think that continuing to pursue is probably the best thing. Let it leave them be. You know, right. So I really haven't looked. I really haven't tried. I haven't spoken. I haven't, you know, for when we first got here, I would say probably with the construction, it ramped up because I know that's something that's big with, you know, any type of rebuilding. You stir up shit. But no, not nothing that I've noticed besides for Ken blowing up the computer. But I think that was moisture and heat and dust.
Well, it was only like 110 degrees up here when that happened. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was hot.
It
was hot.
That scared the shit out of us. Like, we were in the middle of an interview with a brother from Ukraine, and that thing just went boom. I mean, I know, like, the computer, you know, people watching live didn't hear it, but I mean, it was loud. It sounded like a gunshot went off up here. It was the power supply to the computer went kabang. Like,
yeah. Blew up, you know, the electrical burning smell.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Very
that was wild. You were up here, right, Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, holy shit.
It was like back in August.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's pretty much, I hope we answered your question, Jeremy. I would keep with it. And like I said, if you're really committed to it, keep sticking with it. And
show them that you're committed to it.
That effort will, definitely take you a long way.
And Josh, bring your wife to dinner. You know, not just the before meeting dinners. A lot of lodges will plan, you know, like a ladies at the table event. Yeah, well, you wouldn't be able to go to that because usually they're open on EA. But let's talk about, public events, right? Public dinner events, maybe a spaghetti dinner or something, a pancake breakfast. Oh. Bring her to things like that so she could get to know the people that you're going to be spending a lot of time with, because these guys end up being your family.
There was a brother who passed away, but I remember back when I first got into the Scottish Rite, he did what he called the Abraham Lincoln degree, and it was open to the public, and it was a dinner and a degree. Like, you watched a degree, but it was open to the public because it wasn't a quote-unquote sanctioned Scottish Rite degree, but it was like a dinner and a play. Yeah. Like, people love going to see those things, like those dinner and plays and comedy shows and all that stuff that are – I was trying to piss off Steve right there, but he missed that one. Comedy show? No. But, you know, you sit down, we'll talk about it later. but you can, and that was public. You pay $20 a head or $30 or however much it was. And you sit down, you can actually enjoy a night with other Masons, and it's open to the public, and you watch a degree play/, and you kind of get a feel for what the Scottish Rite does. And that was a huge pull at the time. Well, I think the brother passed away. It was a huge pull for people who were seeing it. They're like, oh, this is what the Scottish Rite does. I want to see more plays. I want to see more things. Oh, well, you got to become Blue Lodge Mason first.
Yep.
Then they go searching for Blue Lodge Masonry. Which is your ground floor. You got to be Blue Lodge before Scottish Rite.
A lot of the appendant bodies have events like that. The Shrine, I know, always has stuff.
Scottish Rite is fantastic. Rite, definitely. Yeah.
But anyway, I think that's all I got. What do you got? What do you boys got? Any last closing thoughts before we shut this shit show down?
Nah.
No?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. I got to go get some stuff done. Yeah, we sort of wait. That's why we're closing this down. Thanks for the time taking another podcast. Don't forget to... we'll keep doing podcast as much as I can. Like I said, I've been getting my ass whooped during the week, so I don't know how active I'll be up here during the week. But
George has a real job now, so it's kind of a hindrance to this thing.
Yeah. So, but we'll keep pumping them out as soon as we can, and I'd love to have your brothers back up here again. We'll continue to do this.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, for the Freemasons podcast, hope you guys enjoyed the show. I'm Right Worship Brother George Mudry signing off.
Brother Alex DeFranzo signing off.
Worship Brother Steve, the best host of the Freemasons podcast, signing off.
Right over here to stop stream, Steve.
Except I don't know how to sign off, so hang on.
Have a good